Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another deep dive with Think and Act Locally. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's, it's been in the news a lot lately. And it's something that we all think about, especially in our communities here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, and that is government spending.
Yeah, it's a big one. And you know, what's really interesting to me is how much this issue of government spending really ties into the needs of vulnerable people, you know, both here in the U.S. and around the world.
Right. And we're seeing that play out right now with all this news about President Trump and his decisions about funding for some of those domestic assistance programs and USAID, too.
Yeah, USAID's a big one.
You know, you've probably heard of USA. They do a lot of work internationally. But have you ever considered some of the criticisms of USAID?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of different perspectives on USAID.
They're the agency that's responsible for providing a lot of that international development assistance, you know, helping out other countries.
Right.
But some people argue that it's kind of a tool for regime change.
Yeah, that's one of the big criticisms. The idea is that by, you know, giving money to NGOs and media organizations in certain parts of the world, USAID might be able to kind of shape the narrative in a way that benefits U.S. interests.
So it's like influencing things behind the scenes in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of raises questions about, you know, are they really just trying to help people or are they trying to push a certain agenda?
Okay. So let's break this down a little bit. Can you give us some specific examples of this regime change idea in action?
Sure. So, you know, places like Iran and Ukraine, USAID's funding in those countries has been pretty controversial. You know, critics say that money is being used to basically influence public opinion and even elections, which is a pretty big deal. You know, it starts to blur the lines between humanitarian aid and, you know, foreign policy.
It's a good point. I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, what are the real goals here?
Right, exactly.
And of course, we can't forget about, you know, Elon Musk recently got involved with that whole USAID freeze, which really brought a lot of attention to the situation.
Oh, yeah, that was a big story.
And it really begs the question, is USAID really just about humanitarian aid, or is it a more strategic tool? And what does that mean for the people who rely on that aid?
Yeah, it's a tough question, and there's no easy answers. You know, it really shows how hard it is to understand the real impact of these massive programs.
Okay, well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's bring the conversation a little closer to home here. You know, the government spends a lot of money on domestic programs, too. Things like healthcare and education and housing. And, you know, on paper, at least the goal is to make these things more affordable for everybody.
Right. Yeah, that's the idea, but it doesn't always work out that way in reality.
Right.
You know, we see the cost of these things going up and up, even though we've had these government programs for decades.
It makes you wonder who's really benefiting from all this spending, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of makes you think, are the people who are supposed to be helped by these programs, are they actually getting the help they need, or are other people benefiting more, like government officials or businesses that are connected to the government, you know?
That's a really good point. And how does all of that, you know, factor into the rising cost of living that we see here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena? You know, are we seeing that same dynamic play out in our own communities?
I think it's definitely something to consider. And it kind of leads into this concept of the economic human shield. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
So the idea is that when these programs are threatened, the people who depend on them, they suffer right away. It's very visible. And that suffering is then used as leverage to keep things the way they are, even if the system isn't really working for them.
So you're saying that the needs of these vulnerable people are kind of being used as a way to protect the status quo, even if that status quo is harmful.
Yeah, that's the idea. And it's something that we should all be thinking about, especially in our own communities.
It's a pretty disturbing thought.
Right.
I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, how often does this economic human shield dynamic play out without us even realizing it? Are there ways that we might be contributing to this cycle without even knowing it?
It's definitely a possibility. And, you know, one of the things we need to do is look beyond the immediate effects of these spending cuts and really try to understand the deeper problems that are causing these programs to be needed in the first place.
So we need to kind of look past the headlines and the sound bites.
Yeah.
And really try to understand the root causes of these problems, the underlying issues that are driving these cycles of dependence.
Exactly. And that's where things get really complicated.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the back and forth of politics, but how do we actually address those deeper issues without getting sucked into all of that?
Well, you know, there's this analogy that I think really helps explain the situation. It's like the government is breaking people's legs and then handing them crutches.
Okay, wow, that's a pretty powerful image.
Right. And it kind of highlights how we tend to focus on treating the symptoms instead of preventing the injury in the first place.
So in this case, the injury is poverty or lack of opportunity, all those systemic problems that we were just talking about.
Exactly. And we need to figure out how to stop those injuries from happening in the first place.
That makes a lot of sense. And it really brings us back to the whole mission of think and act locally. You know, we want to give our listeners here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena the information and the tools they need to understand these complex issues and make a difference in their own communities.
Exactly. And I think part of that is recognizing that we all have a role to play in creating a more just and equitable society. And that starts with understanding the systems that are in place, even at the national and international level, because they have a direct impact on our lives right here at home.
Well said. Okay, so with that in mind, let's move on to the next part of our deep dive and start exploring some of those potential solutions. You know, how can we break free from these cycles of dependence and create a system that empowers individuals and strengthens communities?
Let's get into it.
All right, let's do it.
It's amazing how these global issues, you know, things like foreign aid and how it can be used for different purposes, how they actually connect to our lives here at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to think of these things as being, you know, far away and not really relevant to our daily lives.
Right, but when you start to really look at it, you realize that everything's connected.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, U.S. military intervention, which we talked about earlier, you know, those actions often destabilize entire regions. And then you have these humanitarian crises that pop up, and then that leads to more dependence on foreign aid.
So it's like we're creating the very problems that we're then trying to solve with aid.
It's a crazy cycle, you know, and it just reinforces that whole idea of the economic human shield, because when you have all these people who rely on aid, it becomes really difficult to change the policies that created those problems in the first place.
Right, because any attempt to cut back on that aid, even if it's with good intentions, is immediately met with accusations of being heartless and, you know, not caring about people.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations and really dig into the complexities of these issues.
We need to look beyond the surface.
We need to think critically about the solutions that are being proposed and really question the narratives that are being presented.
Okay, so let's bring this back to our local context here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena. You know, how do we as individuals and as a community avoid falling into this trap of perpetuating this cycle of dependence? How do we help our neighbors in need without becoming, you know, pawns in this bigger political game?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's one that we need to keep asking ourselves constantly. I think it starts with recognizing that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. You know, what works in one community might not work in another, and we need to be really careful about these top-down solutions that don't really take into account the unique needs of our local area.
Right. And I think that emphasis on the local aspect is so important, and it's really at the heart of think and act locally. You know, we believe that real change starts from the ground up, not from the top down.
I completely agree. It's about empowering individuals and communities to take control of their own futures.
So, what are some concrete steps that our listeners can take to make a difference right here in their own backyards? You know, how do we move beyond just being aware of the problem to actually taking action?
Well, I think education is a great first step. You know, we need to be informed about the issues that are affecting our community, the root causes of poverty and inequality, and the different ways that people are trying to address these problems.
And that's where Think and Act Locally comes in. You know, we're trying to provide that information in a way that's easy to understand and engaging so that our listeners feel empowered to make a difference.
Exactly. And once we have a better understanding of the issues, we can start to identify opportunities to get involved. You know, that might mean volunteering at a local food bank or mentoring a young person or donating to a charity that's working to address a specific need in our community.
And I think it's important to remember that even small actions can make a big difference. You know, we don't have to solve all the world's problems overnight, but we can start by making a difference in the lives of the people around us right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Absolutely. You know, building relationships with our neighbors, showing compassion and empathy, creating a sense of community where everyone feels supported and valued. Those are all really powerful ways to make a difference.
Those are such good points.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in the big picture, all the national debates and the global crises. But at the end of the day, change starts with each of us in our own homes and in our own neighborhoods.
Exactly. And that's why platforms like Think and Act Locally are so important. They provide a space for these conversations, for learning from each other, and for inspiring each other to take action.
Well said. And for our listeners who are feeling inspired to get involved, I want to remind you that you can find a ton of resources and information on our website, thinkandactlocally.com. And if you're able to support our work financially, we would be so grateful. You can find the donation link in the show notes.
Every little bit helps you. It's amazing what we can accomplish when we come together and work towards a common goal.
We've covered a lot of ground today, from the complexities of foreign aid to the power of local action. And while these issues can feel really overwhelming at times, I hope our listeners are leaving with a sense of hope and empowerment.
Yeah, it's been a really thought-provoking conversation, and I think we've just scratched the surface of these issues.
It's true. But I think we've given our listeners a good foundation for understanding how government spending, both here in the U.S. and internationally, impacts the lives of real people, especially those who are most vulnerable, and how those decisions can have ripple effects right here in our own community.
Absolutely, and I think we've also highlighted the importance of critical thinking, you know, questioning the narratives that are being presented to us and finding ways to make a difference in our own communities. Well said. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to shift gears one last time and explore a question that's been on my mind throughout this whole conversation. How can we move beyond just treating the symptoms of these societal problems and start addressing the root causes? You know, what does the truly empowered and thriving community look like? And how do we get there?
Yeah, that's a big question and something I've been thinking about a lot during our conversation. You know, we've been talking about all these complexities with government spending and how sometimes relying too much on aid, both here and in other countries, can actually cause problems. But what does a community that's truly empowered look like? One that's not always depending on help from the outside?
That's a great question. And I think to really achieve that, we need to kind of flip the script on how we think about these things. You know, we need to move away from this idea that the government is always the answer to poverty and inequality.
So what are we missing?
We should be focusing on creating an environment where people have the tools and the resources they need to succeed on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving them the power to build their own lives. So what are some of those tools and resources? What are the things that make that kind of community possible?
Well, education is huge. It's like the foundation, you know, it opens doors to economic opportunity and helps people move up in the world. But it can't just be about access to any school. It has to be about quality education that actually prepares students for the real world, you know, for jobs and for life in general.
Right. And how about things like affordable housing and job training programs? Are those important too?
Absolutely. Affordable housing is essential. You know, it gives people stability and security, lets them put down roots and build a future. And job training programs can equip people with the skills they need to find good jobs to support themselves and their families.
So it's about giving people a chance to lift themselves up, become self-sufficient, and contribute to the community.
Exactly. And it also means addressing the things that are holding people back, you know, the systemic barriers that prevent them from getting ahead. We're talking about discrimination, lack of access to affordable childcare, transportation challenges, things like that. These are all obstacles that we need to overcome if we really want a fair and just society.
I see. It's not just about giving handouts. It's about setting up a system that gives everyone a fair shot.
Exactly.
But to be honest, it feels kind of daunting. You know, where do we even start to tackle these huge systemic problems, especially at the local level?
I get it. It can feel overwhelming, but we got to remember, we don't have to fix everything all at once. You know, we can start by focusing on what we can do right here, right now in Deer Park, LaPorte in Pasadena.
So going back to that local action idea.
Yeah, exactly. We can support the organizations that are already working on these issues. You know, the ones fighting for economic opportunity and social justice. We can speak up for policies that make a difference. And we can make choices in our own lives that contribute to a more just and sustainable world. You know, it's about recognizing that every single one of us has a part to play in building the kind of world we want to live in.
And it's about remembering that change doesn't always have to come from the top down. Sometimes the most powerful changes start from the ground up when people come together to make a difference.
That's exactly what Think and Act Locally is all about, giving the people in our communities the power to take charge of the things that matter most to them and work together to create real change.
This has been such a great conversation. I feel like I've learned so much about how government spending works, the downsides of dependence, and the incredible power of community action. But most importantly, I feel inspired to be part of the solution, you know, to help build a stronger and more resilient community right here in Deer Park, LaPorte in Pasadena.
That's what we're all about. You know, we want our listeners to walk away from these deep dives feeling informed, empowered, and ready to make a difference.
And for those of you listening, if you're feeling that same spark of inspiration, I encourage you to check out our website, thinkandactlocally.com. We've got tons of resources and information on how you can get involved, links to local organizations, volunteer opportunities, and ways to connect with other people who want to make a difference in our community.
And if you're finding value in what we do here at Think and Act locally, and you're able to support our work financially, any contribution you can make would be amazing. You can find the donation link in our show notes.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into government spending aid and the power of community action. We'll be back next time with another in-depth look at the issues that matter most to you. Until then, remember to think and act locally.